you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And this is one familiar to probably many of you, but it's a special one for our special guest on this Testimony Tuesday. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. And if you've tuned in to Mark and Friends for any period of time, you know I love Testimony Tuesdays because I get the opportunity to meet a new friend and to have them share some of their life story, their testimony, their faith journey. And Rita, I'm just getting to know you this morning. I'm here at our Springfield studio again. I was here yesterday, and I love the accommodations here. It's a great studio. That thank you to the WLUJ family of stations for paying off this building. It's a beautiful brick building, two stories. We have four different studios in here. Tim's working in the other room, but it's great accommodations. You've been here before, right?
Yes, I have.
So you visited before. Well, you're the Testimony Tuesday guest. Tim was bragging you up, said, oh, she's really sweet, has a heart for those with disabilities, has a great voice, has a wonderful story, a God-honoring story, kind of a hardship story because you've been through a lot through the many years, but I wish Calvin was here, too, because you were kind of bragging him up, saying he's very generous and he loves to work with your disability ministries. All God's Children, was that what it was called for many years?
Yes.
Okay, so you and Calvin have done that. I'm going to start right off at, tell me something about Calvin. Was it love at first sight? Where did you two meet?
We met our first year of our junior year in high school at Lanfair High School in between the Edison and Lanfair building, and he looked at me and I looked at him, and that was it.
Wow. And I think you said you've been married almost 40 years.
It'll be 40 years this coming July.
Met in high school, so a marriage made in heaven, as they would say. So that's wonderful. And how many children do you have?
We have two daughters.
Two daughters. Now, you grew up and have lived in the Springfield area these many, many years. Are your daughters still in the area?
My oldest daughter, Amanda, is in this area. She is 37.
Okay.
And my youngest daughter, Lindsay, she lives over in Pena, Illinois, with her husband, Jeremy.
Little shout-outs for them, and they can listen to the streaming audio or one of our 19 frequencies. We cover the whole central part of the state and our wonderful Indiana listeners, West Central Indiana listeners. So we've been excited to have Mark and Friends being heard on all 19 frequencies at 7:32 a.m., re-aired at 7:32 p.m. And I referenced, I was here yesterday and had Laura Crater in, and so she shared some of her faith journey, her passion for Ephesians 4, 23 through 24, and she also lives in the Springfield area, so it was fun to share her with our radio listeners yesterday and today and yesterday's program. And for that matter, I think the last 12 years of Mark and Friends are all archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and also wluj.org, wluj.org under the Mark and Friends link. So if your friends or family members, Rita, don't get to listen to it live, they can always go to the Mark and Friends link at one of our two websites. So Tim had said you have a great voice, you love to sing, but you seem like you have a servant's heart too for those with disabilities or those that just need an encouraging word. And I think you're willing or open to speaking at women's groups or speaking and sharing some of your story. So tell us a little of your faith journey and some of that testimony.
Well, I didn't come into this life in a way that should have happened. My biological mother, she had went out on a date with a young man, and he took liberties with her, and her family told her that she needed to place me for adoption, because they said they just did not think it would work out, them having me in the home at that time. And so at 3 weeks of age, I was adopted by a very, very wonderful family. My mother raised me to know the Lord, and I've been a Christian since I was a little girl. And I was able to lead my father to the Lord when he suffered a stroke years ago. And I was at his bedside and was able to read God's word to him and lead him to the Lord and to salvation.
And your biological mother, it wasn't only unwanted advancements, it was rape.
I mean,
he took advantage of her, and thank you, God, that she decided to walk through the whole pregnancy process and birth you and give you up for adoption. But sadly, this individual, this young man, took advantage of her and violated her. But thank you, God, that you were born and you're serving him and you got adopted by these wonderful parents. So I think you said your mother was very spiritual and loved the Lord. So what was that process of you coming to know Jesus in a personal way?
Well, we started out at the time, it's no longer here in Springfield, but we started out, she took me to the Four Square Gospel Church. And I can remember we would stay late into the night after the evening service. There would be late night prayer meetings. And I can remember laying under the pew, falling asleep, and my mom giving me a blanket and telling me to be quiet, that we'll go home after a while. And I can remember waking up but being carried out of the church because it was so late at night.
And so you heard God's word being preached and proclaimed, and was there a point, I think you might have said even later on, that you really identified as Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that as you just matured and understood that he died for your sins? Did it become real personal at some point?
Well, I can remember my mom at night when Billy Graham Crusades would come on, and he would come on, and I can remember her, I was probably like 5 or 6, and she'd call me in the front room, and she'd have me sit up in a chair, and I would listen to Billy Graham with her. And then I can remember when he would have the closing prayer, I would want to get saved every time.
Sure, sure.
And I would get down on my knees, and I can remember my mom waking me up because I would fall asleep while I was praying down on my knees at 5 years old.
Yeah, oh, so very sweet. Now, I should mention, in the studio with me, we're at our Springfield campus, I guess I'll call it, 600 West Mason Street, and just appreciate this great facility that God has raised up. But in on this Testimony Tuesday is Rita Stambaugh. She lives here in the Springfield area, married to Calvin, as mentioned, almost 40 years in July, I think you said.
Yes.
And you have two daughters, and you've just had a real heart for people with disabilities. Did God put that in your heart, or was there a circumstance or a situation that had you being really tender to reaching out and bringing hope and healing and care for these different people?
Well, when I was younger and I was at church, there would be other people come in with disabilities, and I would always like tag behind them trying to find out if they needed help. Can I help you? Can I help you? And it got to the point to where I was being too helpful, and the pastor's wife came to my mother and said, she needs to back off just a little bit. And I myself, for many years, was in classes for people that had learning disabilities. But as time grew on, the Lord healed me of those disabilities. And I believe the reason that he allowed these disabilities for me to deal with them as I grew up was because that was part of the ministry that he would call me into. And when you can walk in another person's shoes, then you can be more effective in ministry to them and for them.
Yeah, and so you already developed that sensitivity because you had walked through some of those things yourself. So, yeah, isn't it like God to take you through something so that you can bring healing or hope or encouragement to someone else? And I'm thinking back to your parents that were a great influence on you, that adopted you and really cared for you. Weren't they praying for a baby? Wasn't there a story where they really wanted to have a baby?
Yes, my brother at the time when they adopted me, he was 13 years old. And the first time they applied for adoption, they were denied the ability to adopt because my father had just lost his mother to cancer. And they said that it would be too much on a hardship on a family, having a death in the family that's so close, to bring a child into the environment at the time. And so they had to wait another full year before I was brought into their lives.
Hmm. Oh, God is the master at orchestrating the timing of things, and as people are praying and other people are trying to decide what to do, he kind of works it all out, and you got adopted and raised by a wonderful mom and dad who just embraced you and encouraged you in your faith journey. Now, you met Calvin basically in high school and have been married these 40 years, but even Christian marriages, even the best of marriages, there's difficulties at times, there's frustrations, there's points where people want to give up or people just feel betrayed or lied to, or for whatever reason, there's difficulties. So you and Calvin actually experienced a 7-week separation, but God, who's in the miracle business, united you and you've been stronger ever since. Walk us through a little of that.
Well, we got married 2 years after we had graduated from high school. I had just graduated from college. He was in the process of still going through classes in college. And we both grew up in homes where our fathers had a bit of a temper, mm-hmm. and our mothers had a bit of control, you know, tried to control people. And when you put two people into a marriage that's both came from the same type of homes, with that type of a problem, it's like a package of dynamite right. just waiting to explode, and that's exactly what happened. And I was standing back in my laundry room this one afternoon, and I said, Lord, I said, either change him or get him out of here. Hmm. And almost two weeks to the date, that's when the Lord showed us that we can't be in control of people. Right. Only God can control people. And so he split us apart for 7 weeks. My husband had even filed papers for divorce. Mm-hmm. He was wanting to marry another woman. And within a matter of a couple of hours of all this starting to take place, God stepped in at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And we were in a meeting before our pastors. And my husband just looked over at me and he says, you know, he says, I really don't think I want this to happen. I love you. Will you forgive me? Can I come home? And I said, you could have come home anytime you wanted to.
And I asked you to share that, and thank you for being vulnerable and transparent, but I'm sure there's somebody tuning in that is maybe going through those kind of decisions, or somebody that's agonizing over the relationship that should it end or should it not end. And we serve a God that can bring hope and healing and change. And I like what you also said, where you kind of learn that you can't control it. And oftentimes in marriage, we want the other person to change. And if only they would do this or that or behave differently, everything would work out. But generally, God says, examine yourself. How do you need to change? How do you need to draw closer to me? How do you need to surrender and not to be so controlling? And I think we all have that tendency. We want to control. And then we do also have that tendency, oh, if they would only do this and only do that. And we're the ones that really probably have to just surrender it to God and say, Lord, what do I need to change? How do I need to love? So you were bragging up Calvin beforehand, so it seems like God has worked through both of you with the ministry of all God's children. So you did that for 20-plus years?
We did that for 20-plus years until COVID shut everything down, and the group homes would not let the people be picked up on the bus, and so we just had to pull back from it. And so it is no longer in existence, but that does not mean that God may not in the near future open up another opportunity with another group of people with disabilities.
And give a couple examples of how you and maybe Calvin thrived in that situation. Is it just that you have a servant's heart, or you love bringing hope and healing? Did you get to share Jesus? Like, what were some of those special moments?
Well, we did, because the first year that we served with disability ministry, it was missionary month at our church, and a lady got up in the pulpit and she was talking about a program called Special Touch Ministry, which was out of Waupaca, Wisconsin, and they were looking for a female caregiver, a male caregiver, and two teen female caregivers. And our daughters, Amanda and Lindsay, who were sitting on the other side, after church was finished, they came running over, Mom and Dad, can we go? Well, when my husband and I were sitting there in the pew before my daughters came over to us, I had told my husband a couple years before that, I had said, I feel like God's calling us into the mission field. And he said, no. I said, yes. And I said, I'm going to pray. He said, you just pray all you want. So for 2 years, I prayed about this. When the lady got up and spoke about the ministry at Special Touch out of Waupaca, Wisconsin, I looked over at my husband. He had tears flowing down his face. He said, we're going. And I said, I knew we were going.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I think that's maybe a pattern for you, deep prayer or consistent prayer or longevity, like being disciplined to continue to pray over things. Because as I was saying, hey, we're going to pray up the program before we begin this broadcast, you said, oh, I began praying last week. I was praying on the way over. So has prayer been a foundational stone in your life?
It has been, because my mom used to come in the bedroom at night with me, and she would sit beside me on the bed, and we would pray together, and we would pray. I mean, we just prayed constantly, my mom and I, over a lot of different things. And prayer is a weapon. It's our weapon of warfare.
Right, right. Yeah, there's so many different examples throughout the scriptures on the power of prayer, the importance of prayer, and even the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've been talking about that on some prior Mark and Friends programs, that the Lord modeled how to pray through that prayer, the pattern of prayer, and just different ways to approach God as a father, as somebody that loves or delights in giving us good gifts. So, prayer is something that we should think about. I think Paul talks about praying always throughout the day, not just in the morning or not just at meals, but as we walk, as we talk, as we think through things. So, it just became evident that you love to pray and that God works through prayers.
Mark, an example of what we did when we were in the disability ministry, when we would go to these camps to take care of these people, we would, in the evening, during evening service, when it was over, we'd ask him, would you like to go down to the altar? Is there anything we can pray for you about? Well, the man that my husband took care of, he was a one-on-one. He had been in a car accident, and he was paralyzed from the neck down. And so my husband had to use a lot of torque to lift him with and to move him around. And he told my husband, he says, yes, I want to go to the altar. And my husband took him up to the altar, and he couldn't talk very plain, and he would talk out of the side of his mouth. And he looked at my husband, and he said, I don't need prayer. I'm going to pray for you. And my husband, it just humbled him to think that someone in this situation would want to pray for him. And he just started weeping. And our final year of our disability camp, we had moved in to take care of my dad because he had had a stroke, and my dad got saved, and we took him to the camp with us. And we were able to take my dad down to the altar, and he made a public commitment and came to the Lord. And so it's blessed our family more than anybody would ever know to work, because these people have physical disabilities. They may have mentally challenged disabilities, but spiritually, they can feel Jesus just as much as we can.
Yeah, and how like God to use this individual to, I don't know if it's humble, but break down or just influence your husband in such a way that he saw God at work through this individual that seemingly maybe the world would have written off, or what can he do? He's restricted to a bed or he's handicapped, and yet the power of prayer that can transform lives, that moves the hand of God. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than prayer. So let me encourage all of you tuned in today, whether you're homebound or maybe wheelchair bound or you can't get out, you have a huge role in the kingdom, in the advancement of God's work through your prayers, through interceding on behalf of others. There's no greater gift than somebody praying for us. And I believe that with all my heart with this radio ministry, how we progress these many years is because we have so many prayer warriors that see the value in Christian programming and God-honoring music and proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior clearly through all of our formats, all of our programming. And so the power of prayer. Well, I'm going to close out again with the verse that we started with. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, giving you the last word. Why was this a special passage for you? What do you love about this verse?
Everything that has happened to me throughout my whole journey in life has always wrapped around the scripture, because, you know, the enemy has plans for us as well as God does. And when you walk with the Lord and you trust in the Lord and you give everything over to the Lord and depend on Him for the outcome of your circumstances, He will prosper you. He'll prosper you in everything that you do.
And I love this verse 11. For I know, this is God speaking, I know the plans I have for you. So God has a plan for you, Rita, for me, Mark, for Tim Nelson, for my wife, Holly, for my daughter, Esther, for everyone. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He declares that they're not just ordinary plans or plans that are harmful. They're plans to prosper. Their plans to give you hope and a future. So God delights in paving the way for us as we walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading, as we ask Jesus into our hearts, as we recognize Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. We are guaranteed that hope of a future because we can have eternal life. And it doesn't mean that it minimizes heartache or pain or suffering or things we go through, because this is a fallen world. So when you ask Jesus into your heart, everything just doesn't work out perfectly. There are hardships. There are tragedies. There are rough roads that we have to drive on. But ultimately, because God is a good God, He's sovereign over all things, and He does delight to help us grow and recognize His goodness, there are many bright spots. And then sometimes when they're not realized here on earth, we have all eternity to worship Him and not have the pain or suffering or heartache. So we serve a good God, and it's been great getting to know you a little bit, Rita, and thank you for being a part of Testimony Tuesday and being a part of the WLUJ family of stations. And give Calvin a big hug for me. I hope to meet up with him in the coming days and carry on as God would lead you to continue to help those with disabilities and serve when this COVID is maybe behind us, and find new ways for Him to use your gifts of mercy and prayer and caring for people. Now, Rita, in the closing minute or two, is there a phone number? So maybe there's somebody going through a heartache or somebody that needs some encouragement or wants to talk to you or invite you to speak to their group. How can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me through my email at blue1762@yahoo.com, or they can call me or text me at 217-622-2828. Again, that's 217-622-2828.
All right. That's Rita Stambaugh at your service. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rita Stambaugh with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.